Perek Hey, Mishnah Dalet. Again, we continue with the series of number 10. Asara Nisim Nasu Lavasena B'Mitzrayim. There were 10 miracles that happened to our forefathers in Mitzrayim. And the Rambam tells us that the Nisim that happened to our forefathers in Mitzrayim were the fact that although they were living amongst the Egyptians were punished with these Nisim, and the Jews were not. And the Rambam says 9 out of 10 of the Makkahs, this fact is written distinctly in the Torah. The only one where it's not written is Makkas Kinim, because there the Pasuk says, in Shmos Perikhas Pasuk Yudalad, Vatehi Hakinim Ba'odum Vabahema, that the Kinim, the lice went to man and animal, and it doesn't distinguish between a Jew or an Egyptian. So it appears that even the Jews had kinim. However, Chazal were mekabel, that yes, the Jews had kinim, but the kinim did not affect them in a bad way. Whereas to the Mitzrim, the kinim did affect them in a very bad way. But except for Kinim, all the other 9, we find Beferish in the Torah that it was for the Mitzrim, and it was not affecting the Jews who lived amongst them. For example, by Dum, the Pasuk says, Vayochlu Mitzrayim lishtois mayim min hayor. The Egyptians were not able to drink water from the river. The Jews could drink from the same cup as an Egyptian, and the Jew would drink water and the Egyptian would drink blood. So here we see that the damage of the Nile turning into blood was only something that affected the Egyptians. By Tzfardeim, the Pasuk says, Ubol beveisecho becheder mishkofcho, they will come into your house and into your bedroom. That it will come into Pari's house and his whole nation, all his slaves, but it will only come to the Egyptians, not to the Jews. By Orov, the wild animals, Viflesi, by Yoimahu, as Eretz Goshen, Levilti, Yoisham Orev, that the wild animals will only come into where the Egyptians live, not where the Jews live. By Dever, pestilence, Umimikne, B'nei Yisrael, Loimes, Echad, that not one single Jewish cow died from Dever. It was only the Egyptian cattle that perished. By Shchin, by boils, the Pasuk says, Ki hoya Shchin b'chartum v'chol Mitzrayim. The Shchin affected the magicians of Paroi and all of Egypt, not the Jews. By Borod, hail, Rak be'eretz Goshen, asher sham b'nei Yisrael, lo hoya Borod. It was only in Eretz Goshen where the Jews lived. There was no Borod. By Arba, the Pasuk states, Vayal ho'arba al kol eretz Mitzrayim. The locust only affected Eretz Mitzrayim. By Choshech, the Pasuk states, Ulechol b'nei Yisrael hayar b'mayshvaysam, that the Jews had light wherever they lived. And by Makkas Bechoris, we know, the Pasuk says that it was only the Bechorim of Mitzrayim that were killed by Chatzos HaLaila and not the Jewish Bechorim. So the fact that the Egyptians were punished and the Jews who lived amongst them were not punished, normally, when a magefa goes out, it's not mafchin between tzaddik l'rasha. Everyone gets affected. And here Hashem showed that no, only the Egyptians will be affected and not the Jews. That was the asara nisim that were done l'avosenu b'mitzrayim. Continues the Mishnah. V'asara alayom. There were 10 nisim that were done to Klal Yisrael on the yom. Now, whereas the Rambam said by the 10 Nisim in Mitzrayim that it's written in the Torah that it only affected the Egyptians and not the Jews, when it comes to the 10 Nisim on the Yamsuf, there are different explanations in the Ovis de Rabnach, the Rabnosin, and in the Medrash Tanchuma, because it's not written beferish in the Torah. But basically, the 10 miracles that happened to the Jews on the Yom Suf are as follows. And this is the sheet of the Rambam. The first one, of course, Vayivako Amayim, that the water split. The second one, that the water split in the form of a tent. There was water on each side. There was water on the roof. But in the middle, there was a hole where the Jews were able to walk. The third miracle was that the ground underneath where the Jews were walking was totally dried out. It was a highway. There was no mud as there normally would be on a river bed. Uvnei Yisrael halchu b'yabasha b'soich hayam. And the Rambam says, Lo nisher b'karkiyosei shum choymer v'tit k'bishar noris. There was no sludge and there was no mud as there is in a riverbed of any other river. The fourth miracle was that the same ground, when the Egyptians went on that ground as they were running after the Jews in pursuit, there it did have chomer v'tit. It did turn back and have mud and sludge like a regular riverbed. The fifth miracle is that the Jews did not go through in one tunnel, but rather in 12 tunnels for each of the 12 shvatim. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Per Kuf Lamed Vav, Pasuk Yud, Legoizir Yamsuf Legzarim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made 12 paths through the Yamsuf. And the sixth miracle is that the water became hard like a rock. As the Pasuk says, Shibarta Rosh Etaninim Alamayim, the heads of the Egyptians, the Egyptian snakes, were broken on the stone-like surface of the water, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned the water into a rock. The seventh miracle is that it wasn't just one layer of stone that the water turned into, but it was like bricks. Because the Taisus Yontif explains that would be a beauty for the Jews as they walked through the Yamsuf to be, so to speak, surrounded by a building which was made of bricks. And that's how the water formed not one slab, but like bricks as they walked through the Yamsuf. The ninth miracle was that the water was sweet that it could be drunk. And as the Jews were going through, they were able to drink the sweet water. And the tenth miracle is that as soon as the Jews drank the water that spilled down on the ground became a pillar, as the Pasuk says, Ner mumayim nitzvu kumod ne nozlim. It became a pillar of the water turning into a mound of water. These were the ten nisim that happened to Kol Yisrael on the Yamsuf. Continues the Mishnah. Eser makas hevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu al HaMitzrim b'Mitzrayim. We, of course, know the ten makas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought on Mitzrayim, in Mitzrayim, Dam, Tzvardeya, Kinim, Oroiv, Dever, Shchin, Borod, Arbe, Choshek, Amakas, Bechoros. And then the Mishnah continues, V'asora al hayom. There were 10 miracles that happened on the Yam against Mitzrayim. The Rambam tells us that we find, for example, Chazal argue how many miracles there were against the Egyptians, how many makas there were on the Yamsuf, and each Tana says there was more than the other Tana says. And the Meforshim explain that since the Pasuk says, Kol Maka Asher Hevi Al Mitzrayim Lo Osum Elecha Kani Hashem Refecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, every Maka that I brought on Mitzrayim, I will not bring on you. Therefore, the Tanoim, each one is trying to find more and more Makas that the Mitzrayim were punished on the Yamsuf even more than in Mitzrayim. And the reason one Tana is trying to outdo the other is because the more makas we can say that the Egyptians had in Mitzrayim, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I am your doctor, a preventive medicine, and I will not bring those makas on the Jews, and therefore the more makas that the Egyptians could have had in Mitzrayim, the better it is for the Jews. So the Rambam says, although the Tanoim, each one tries to exceed the other in how many makas there were for the Egyptians in Mitzrayim, but it boils down to 10 main makas. And that's why our Mishnah just says that the Mitzrayim had on the Yom Suf only 10. From those 10, there were subdivisions, subunits of makas, but the main makas all trace their origin back to the 10 makas that the Mitzrayim received in Mitzrayim itself. Continues the Mishnah. Asor and the Shonis, Nisu Avosenu es Hamakom Baruch Hu Bamidbar. Klal Yisrael tested Hashem 10 times in the Midbar. Shenemar, the Pasuk says in Bamidbar, Perik Yudal, Pasuk of Beis, Vayinasu Oisi Ze Eser Pamim, Veloy Shama Bekali. Klal Yisrael tested me already 10 times. They did not listen to my voice. What are these 10 times? So the first time is on the Yom Suf. They said, Hamivli ain't formed Mitzrayim l'chachton olamis b'midbar. Are there no graves in Mitzrayim that we had to die here in the Midbar? We could have died in Mitzrayim and had a grave there. Then the second one is in Morah, when the Pasuk says, Vayuloinu o'am al Moshe le'mor manishta. They rebelled against Moshe saying, what are we going to drink? In Midbar Sin, the Pasuk says, Miyiten musenu biyad Hashem be'eretz Mitzrayim b'shifteinu al sir habasar. Halavai, we would have been still in Mitzrayim when we were sitting around the pot of meat. That was the third test against Hashem. And the Pasuk says further, by the mon, the fourth test, v'leishamu el Moshe. They didn't listen to Moshe. Moshe said, don't leave any over. V'yasira nashim imenu abayker. They left it over until the morning. The fifth test, again with the mon, Hashem told Moshe to tell Klal Yisrael not to collect on Shabbos. Vayhi b'yom ha'shvi'i yatzim u'am lilkod. There were people who went out to collect on Shabbos. The sixth was in Refidim. Vayorev v'am in Moshe. The people quarreled with Moshe. Vayomru tnu lanu mayim v'nishta. Give us water to drink. The seventh was in Chorev in Har Sinai in the Maisa of the Egel. Vayakel ha'am al aron. Vayomru lov kum asay lanu Elohim. Make for us a God. And finally, the eighth Nisoyan was in Tavera. They were complaining against Hashem. The ninth one was in Kiris HaTaiva. Vasafsuf Asher Bekir Boy Hisavu Taiva. The heir of Rav Dei had a big desire. And they said, Miachilenu Basar, we want to eat meat. And finally, the tenth one was in Midbar Paran. This was concerning the Meraglim, and that's where the Pasuk, which the Mishnah concludes with, states, Vayinasu Oisize Aser Pamim V'leishama B'koyli, and Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Erech and Daf Tezvav Amid Aleph Melamed, Sholei Nechtam Gzardin Alevasenu Bamidbor, Sholei Yikonsu Le'oretz, Elo Alchet Loshen Hara, that what was the final Avera which sealed the fate of our ancestors in the Midbar, that they would not enter into Eretz Yisrael, that was because of the Chet of Lashon Hara Shenemar, Vayinasu Oisi Ze Eser Pamim. They tested me 10 times, these 10 times. V'teva Ze is Mashma on this Chet of the Meraglim, which was Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael. That is what sealed the fate of the Jews, that they would not enter into Eretz Yisrael. These are the 10 Nisyonos that are mentioned in the Gemara in Erechin, Daf Tezvav. They're mentioned in the Avos Reb Nosson, Perek Lamed Daled. There may be certain small changes in these various Mekoros of Chazal, but basically, these are the 10 Nisyonos that our forefathers tested Hashem in the Midbar. Perek Hay, Mishnah Hay. Our Mishnah continues using the number 10. Asora Nisim Nasu Lavisenu Bebeis HaMikdash. There were 10 Nisim, 10 miracles that happened to our forefathers in the Beis HaMikdash. And now the Mishnah enumerates what those 10 Nisim were. The first one, Lahipila Isha Mireach Besar HaKodesh. There was never a case of a pregnant woman who miscarried as a result of the smell of the holy meat, the kachim that were being sacrificed on the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. The halacha is that a woman who is pregnant and she smells something that's cooking, and she has a desire for it, we give her that cooked item, even if it is from Isser, until she's able to revive herself. Because if we do not give it to her, then her life and the life of the embryo that she is carrying, the uber that she is carrying, are in sakona, in danger. And we have a rule, the Gemara tells us in Yuma, Daf Pei, Beis Amud Aleph, Ein lecha dover ha'imed b'fnei b'kuch nefesh, that nothing stands in the way of something that is a danger to one's life. There was a nest in the Beis HaMikdash that although the entire air of the Beis HaMikdash was permeated with roasted and cooked meat of the Karbonis, yet there was never an instance where a woman was mapul, where she miscarried as a result of smelling the aromas of the kachim that were being sacrificed and cooked and roasted there. And this is how the Rambam in the Sefer Hamor explains the first ness. The second ness, v'loy nira, v'loy hisriach besar hakodesh mi'olam, that although, for example, kachim kalim, which has less of a kedusha than the sacrifice of the karbonis of kachay kachim, the halacha is that one is allowed to eat kachim kalim. For example, the type of korban called a shlomim, you're able to eat it for 2 days and one night. There was no refrigeration in those days. And in the summer days, the temperature in the Beis HaMikdash was very hot. And normally, meat that is around for 2 days in such hot temperature would become putrid. It would spoil. A miracle happened that the flesh of kachim never spoiled. And the Meiri says that the word hisriach not only refers that the meat didn't spoil, but it did not cause in the hifil in diktuk, the meat did not cause the hands, for example, of the kohanim, who were a whole day busy with the meat of kachim, and normally a butcher who is dealing with chulin meat, his hands would begin to smell from the meat. The ness in the Beis HaMikdash was that not only did the meat not give off a bad smell in itself, but it did not cause the hands of the kohanim to become smelling from the meat. The third ness was v'loy nirez vuv bebeis hamitbachayim, that in the place where they had tables of marble and they used to have the intestines washed on those tables, and normally, in those areas where there's flesh and the intestines, it would attract flies. The ness was that there was never a fly seen in the Beis HaMikdash. The fourth ness, says the Mishnah, V'loy era keri l'koyin gadol b'yoyim ha-kippurim. There was never a case where a koyin gadol was tameh and could not do the avoda on Yom Kippur as a result of being a balkeri, of having a issue of semen coming from his body. There were other tumas, the Gemara in Yuma Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph tells us that Maisa b'koin gadol, shir boy psul, there was a koin gadol who had a psul. For example, he became tame from touching a sheretz, and they appointed Yosef ben Elam should be the Koyen Gadol to do the Avoda on Yom Kippur. That's why they always prepared a skun, an assistant to the Koyen Gadol, that in case he would be incapacitated and not be able to do the Avoda, the skun would take over. But it was never, that's what our mission is telling us, it was never as a result of being a Balkari, because that Tumah, which is coming, which is being emitted from the body of the Koyen Gadol himself, would cause the Kohen Gadol tremendous shame, And therefore, unless happened that this particular tumor, no coin was affected by it. The fifth miracle, V'loikibu gishamim eishal atzei amarocha. Although the mizbeach hachitzon, the outer mizbeach, was in a open place and rain fell on the mizbeach hachitzon, yet the rains never extinguished the fire of the atzei amarocha, of those woods that had been placed on the mizbeach hachitzon. The sixth miracle, V'loi natzcha haruach es amud ha'ashan. The smoke that was coming out of the fire of the marocha went up straight like a tree, and it didn't dissipate to all directions. The wind did not blow the smoke in all directions. The Rambam says that when they were makriv the karbonos, when they brought the sacrifices, the miracle was that the wind was very calm. Not that there was a heavy wind that failed to dissipate the smoke, but rather there was never a case where the wind was a strong wind. It was a very calm wind that allowed the smoke from the atzei amarocha, from the fire, to go up straight and not waver in one direction or the other. The seventh miracle was, V'loi nimtza psul ba'omer u'bishtei alechem u'balechem aponim. In these three korbanos, the korban of the omer and of the shtei alechem, which is brought on Shavuos, the lechem aponim that is brought every Shabbos, there was never a psul found that would invalidate these korbanos. Let us take each one at a time. V'loi nimtza psul ba'omer. The omer comes from barley, and the time that it is brought is on the 16th of Nisan, and the purpose of it is to make permissible chadash, all new grain, that it's permitted to be eaten. And had there been a psul, then there would not have been the ability to find other omer instead of what had become pusul, because they were kotzer, they reaped... They reaped the omer on the night of the 16th, and they only cut off exactly what they needed, not extra. Had there been a psul to the omer, there would not be any way to rectify that situation. Also, we learned by b'shtei alechem, which is brought from wheat, the new wheat on Shavuos. And the purpose of this korban is, just as the omer permitted chadash to the regular people, so too the shtei alechem permitted wheat for sacrifice on the mizbeach, to bring from that new wheat, to bring menachos. And since the shtei alechem, the baking of the shtei alechem is not docha Shabbos or Yontiv, they had to bake the shtei alechem erev Yontiv. And had there been a psul, they would not have been able to bring that as a korban, and they would not have been able to bake on Shabbos or Yontiv. And it has to come on Shavuos. There's no tashlumim for this korban, and therefore, had there been the ability to be a psul, there would have been a problem. The ness was, they never found a psul, something to invalidate the shtei alechem. And finally, the lechem aponim that used to be baked every Erev Shabbos, they used to put it on the shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, and it used to stay there until the following Shabbos, and then it was removed and the new lechem aponim was placed on the shulchan, and the old one was divided up amongst the kohanim. Had there been a psul, it would have been that the shulchan was without any lechem. A miracle took place, a psul never happened, and the shulchan always had on it the lechem aponim. The eighth miracle was, oim dim tzvufim u'mishtachavim revachim. When Klal Yisrael were oil regal, there was millions of people in the Beis HaMikdash, but yet the Bartanura, and this is based on Rashi in Yuma on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph, explained that Sfufim is from the Lashon of Tzaf, like something floating on water. There were so many people in the Beis HaMikdash that one person's foot would not necessarily find the ground, but rather he would be floating. His feet would be on top of somebody else's foot, because there was no room for one to place their feet on the ground. There were so many people. That's when they stood. However, the miracle was, umishtachlim, when they bowed down, and they made a confession, and they made a vidui. There was no one who wanted his vidui, his confession, to be heard by his neighbor. So then, revachim, then suddenly a miracle took place, and it was miut hamachzikas amarub. It was a small area that was able to contain millions, and each person had around him four amas from the people on his side, and each person did not hear the confession of the other person. So that was the miracle of Oimdim Tzfufim Umishtachavim Rivachim. The ninth miracle, Vloihizik Nachish Va'akrav Birushalayim Oilam. A snake or a scorpion never caused damage in Yerushalayim, although it was a place where the snakes and the scorpions frequented. There were many snakes and scorpions, and nevertheless, a miracle took place and no one was injured. And finally, Vloihomar Odom Lechaveroi, no one said to his friend, in Yerushalayim, Tsarli Amakam, it's very crowded over here, Sha'olam Yerushalayim, that I should remain in Yerushalayim. There are various pshatim to this last ness. Rashi learns that no one ever said that I cannot make Parnassa in Yerushalayim. I'll have to leave Yerushalayim and make Parnassa elsewhere, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mefarnes. He supplies the needs of everyone who is living in Yerushalayim. The Bartanur Rabbeinu Yoine explained that this is referring not to Parnassa on a daily basis, but referring to the Oile Regel, that every person, although there were millions of Jews streaming into Yerushalayim from all over Eretz Yisrael, when it came to the Yom Tovim, everyone was able to find an achsanya, someone who would take them in where they could spend Yontif. The Lakute, Basra Lakute, brings down in the name of the Chassam Sofer that it doesn't say here in the Mishnah, V'loi Hoya Tsar, that the Ness was, that it wasn't Loi Hoya Tsar Amakam, it wasn't tight, but rather it was tight. Physically it was tight. But the Ness was, no one said to his friend, Tsar Li Amakam Sha'olam Birushalayim, it's too crowded here. I don't have room. I don't have a bed. I don't have a chair. And the reason for this is, this demonstrates the tremendous love that Klal Yisrael had for Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. And it also underlines the spirit of Ava V'Achva between one person and another. No one was jealous that someone has something that I don't have. But in that spirit of friendship, they never complained that it's too crowded. And in the Sefer I wrote, Oir HaOirois, on Amud Ayin Gimel, I bring from Reb Chaim Volozhiner, who explains that this tenth miracle of Lo Amar Adam Lechaver Yitzhar Li Amakam Shalom Yerushalayim is different than the previous Ness number 8, Oimdim Tzvufim Umishtachvim Revachim, because that miracle was that although they were squashed together in the Beis HaMikdash, but when they bowed down, they actually had four amas of space around them. But in Yerushalayim, the 10th miracle, as we just explained, it was crowded, but yet no one complained. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains that this is the main beauty, the main mila of the city of Yerushalayim. He explains the pasuk that David HaMelech says in Tehillim Perek Kuf Chaf Beis. So machti ba'omli beis Hashem neilech. I rejoice when they tell me that we're going to go to the house of Hashem, David HaMelech says. Oim dais hayu raglenu b'sharayach Yerushalayim. Our feet were standing in the gates of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim habenuya, the built up Yerushalayim ki'ir, like a city, shechubra layachtav, that it's joined together in one entity. This is the mila, besides the kedusha of Yerushalayim, besides the beauty of Yerushalayim, but the greatness of Yerushalayim is that it is a city of achdus, explains Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Ki'ir shechubra layachtav, as David HaMelech continues and says, Shesham Olu Shvatim Shiftei Ka Eidus LiYisrael. It's a testimony to the Jewish people that Yerushalayim is Lo Nischalku LiShvatim. It's not divided up amongst the Shvatim. It doesn't belong to any particular Shevet. It belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. It demonstrates that although the Klal Yisrael was coming, streaming towards Yerushalayim from all over Eretz Yisrael, they came up as Shiftei Ka, Sham, Olu, Shvatim, Shiftei Ka, each one with its own flag, each one with his own character trait, each one with his own destiny. But yet, in Yerushalayim itself, they merged together. They became Chativa Achas. They became one unit. And there is in Yerushalayim Shalmata that unity, and that is mirrored in Yerushalayim Shalmala, which also the neshama of all of Klal Yisrael is fused together in one entity. Yerushalayim Abnuya Ki'ir Shechubra LaYachtov, it's joined together as one entity, one Chativa Achas, one unified object. And therefore, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, this is the pshat in our Mishnah, V'loy Omar Adam L'chaveiroi, since there was chavershaft, since there was friendship between one and another, therefore, although it was crowded in the homes of Yerushalayim when they took in all these guests which came from all over Eretz Yisrael, but no one was jealous that someone is getting a better bed, a better chair, a better table, that it's too crowded here. Nobody was grouchy and complaining. Because the miracle was that there was such a friendship, and therefore no one complained to say, Tsar li hamakom sha'olin b'Yerushalayim. That is the difference between Nes 8, where the Nes was, there was an expansion of room, and Nes 10, there was no expansion, but no one complained because of the Achdus of Yerushalayim. And if anyone is interested, they could see more about this in Sefer Ara Oris, Amud Ayin Gimel.